Raz, Shuvah of the week. So great to be learning together. We're going to talk about a very, very interesting topic today. This week we're going to address a debate that I had with my son, and that is about carrying in an Eruv. And we try to reduce the amount that we carry in an Eruv. L'chadchila, both Sfaradim and Ashkenazim, perhaps a little bit more for Sfaradim than for Ashkenazim, for a different topic. But the question is like this. So I'm very makpid before I go out to outside the house carrying something. I rely on the Eruv here in Teaneck. I mean, I help oversee it. It's certainly a very, very, really good quality Eruv, well maintained, good standards. But still, the recommendation is from Rav Avadja and Yom Mishneh Berurah is to avoid relying it unless it's really necessary. And so what I do is, even if I'm carrying, I reduce what I carry. So my son said to me, what's the difference? Once you're carrying, what's the difference if you carry more or less? So I said, we have a concept of ribui shi'ur, that you are doing more than what is necessary. And the more you do, the more it is considered to be a question about if it's considered to be permissible or not. And it's not just all or nothing. And he said he didn't think it was an issue of ribui shi'ur. So let's take this actually to a tshuva, a very interesting tshuva that I found from Rav Avadja that he wrote, that's in Yabi Omer Chelek Orach Chaim or Chelek Orach Chaim, where he records one of his issues, challenges he has in the years when he was in Egypt. And it seems that there were a nice group of rabbis who made a Torah weekly newsletter like we have here in French to teach people about the parasha, a little bit of Agadah, and they would distribute to the people not to read in the Beit Knesset but to read after they left the Beit Knesset. So the question then became, well, how could they do this? There's no Eruv in Egypt, and how are the Rabbanim allowed to do this? Rav Avadja said this, violating lifnei verilotei mikshol, you're facilitating someone doing an aveira. And the Rabbanim replied to Rav Avadja saying, what's the difference? All these people are carrying anywhere. They're carrying their keys, they're carrying their handkerchiefs. What's the difference? You give them something more. So Rav Avadja said that it's a ribui shiur. He's like, I have my argument. The more you're doing, the more of it's a problem. And Rav Avadja pointed out this famous machloket between the Ran and the Rashba, whether it's Nisur d'Oraita, Nisur d'Rabbanan, maybe Nisur d'Oraita. And certainly Mishnah Berurah is inclined to be concerned that you're talking about a Nisur d'Oraita, a Torah-level prohibition. And since you're dealing with a concern for potential Torah-level prohibition, how could you give them more? Even if it's d'Rabbanan, how could you give them more? And Rav Avadja Yosef has an arichut. He's a very sharp tshuva. He's very angry at the Rabbanim. And he says that it's an Isur d'oraita, even if you believe that it's those who believe it's only d'rabbanan, even though normally ribui shiur is d'rabbanan, that's only if it's in one fell swoop. Let's say if you're making chicken soup for someone that's dangerously ill on Shabbat, if you add more soup for someone who is not dangerously ill, so that's ribui shiur. It's all one action, but you're adding shiur, you're adding more than one. It's all one in one swoop. So that's a question. You can make the argument it's only d'rabbanan since it's one action. But here you're carrying separate items. So therefore, even if you believe that ribui shiur in the classic case in the Gemara is d'rabbanan, but this is already you're adding more. It's a separate action. Should be a isur d'oraita according to all opinions. So therefore, Rav Avadja really was very strong about his opinion. So much so he concludes the tshuva in a very strong way. He said that the Rabbanim didn't care about the tshuva that he wrote. They persisted. And soon afterwards, Israel's War of Independence broke out. And then the Egyptian government cracked down and persecuted the Jews who were living in Egypt, made life miserable for them. And the Rabbanim had to close down this pamphlet they were making because of concern that the government would find it objectionable, even though only talking about the parasha, but they would find it objectionable, and that's it. So they had to close it down. And that was the end of that. So they were forced to close it down. Even this Rav Avadja could have closed it down in a nice way, but it was forced to be closed down from the government. Very, very sad. So bottom line is, again, we should listen to Rabbanim. But what does that have to do with my son and I? What does that have to do with us? So it's an interesting tshuva. It's good to learn, good learning, but I think it's also important if you're relying on the Eruv. So again, you rely on the Eruv, but it's only when it's necessary. And when, you don't say once you're carrying that just what's the difference, you're carrying one thing or two things. No, you carry only what's necessary. There's one thing that's necessary, fine. But if you don't say just say, well, I'm carrying one thing, I might as well carry five things, even though the other things are not necessary. No. Each one is separate on her own. Each one may be its own concern, and therefore, ha-machmir tov v'lo ha-bracha. Again, you have what to rely on, relying on our Eruvin, but it's better to be machmir, and if you're going to be mekel, only limit it to what's absolutely necessary, and don't say it's all or nothing. Wishing everybody a great week full of bracha and briyut.